maybe I interviewed Colson yesterday. They determined that would be a good thing to do. To have him take a interrogation, which he did. And that, the FBI guys working the case had concluded that there were one or two possibilities. One, that this was the White House. They don't think there's anything about the election committee. They think it was either a White House operation that had some obscure reasons for it, non-political, or was a the Cubans and the CIA. And after their interrogation of Colson yesterday, they concluded it was not White House, so they're now convinced it's a CIA thing. So the CIA turnoff would. Well, I am a part of our analysis. I know that Colson was wrong. You call it. Good deal. Play it out. So it is play it. That's why we're going to play it. Okay.
Mr. Ziegler, sir.
Hi.
There you are.
Hi, Ron.
Yes, Mr. President.
Yeah.
I just talked to Connie. He fully understands the Washington Post situation. There was no reporter today at the ceremony. There was a photographer there, but apparently they screwed up on their desk assignment today, and there was no reporter present from the Post.
I want it clearly understood that from now on, ever, no reporter from the Washington Post is ever to be in the White House. Is that clear?
Absolutely.
Unless it's a press conference.
Yes, sir. In
now,
the briefings here, but...
On a briefing. But never, never in the White House. No church service. Nothing that Mrs. Nixon does. You tell Connie, don't tell Mrs. Nixon, because she'll approve it. No reporter from the Washington Post is ever to be in the White House again. And no photographer either.
Mm-hmm.
No photographer. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
None ever to be in. Now, that is a total order, and if necessary, I'll fire you. You understand?
I do understand.
Okay. Yep. All right. Good.
Okay.
Thank you. Hello?
Yes, sir. Oh, excuse me, Mr. President. I have Mr. Haldeman. Do you want him to wait?
Yeah. No, I'm on.
There you are.
Hello? Oh, Bob, I didn't want to bother you, but one subject that, to my surprise, Henry brought up, which will be referred to you, and I just wanted to put you on it, was that Reston was in to see him.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and I said, well, what do you want to see? He said, well, Reston asked for an interview with the president on the ground that he'd had an interview with John Lyon. I said, now, look, Henry, I didn't even let him finish it. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And I said, first, as I told you, there would be no interviews with the New York Times under any circumstances for the Pentagon Papers. And second, I said, I'm not going to see Reston after what he did with Joe and Lye. And Henry said, well, he says, I agree. He says, I told him that I did nothing to do with these things, and I referred it to Haldeman. So, but you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Henry, of course, is I guess, you know, with his usual concern about the Times. But let me just say this. I don't care who it is, and Scali, Ziegler, Moore, Klein, anybody else, they can come along with all the business that, well, you really ought to see the Times, and, you know, and a question of, it's like going to the White House correspondence thing, and he's very important, and if you don't see him, he's going to write something bad, and so forth. Now, the worst thing I could do, I put it to Henry just cold turkey. I really gave him a lie. I said, Henry, look, if I see Scotty Reston and give him an exclusive interview, what do you think this does to the very few friends, and they're goddamn few, we have in the press that I haven't given personal interviews to? What do you think it does to them? It kills them. So I just wanted you to know that, and I'd like for you to really raise it tomorrow, and I want the goddamn staff to understand, and he must not have understood this, that the blackout on the Times is total.
Well, he understood it. He stood in your office when we talked about this, and you made the point to him that he was not to see Reston, that you would not see Reston.
That's right. That's right. Well,
God.
Whether he talked to him or whether he was in, I don't know, but I gathered he was in. But the point is that he would even refer it to me was amazing. But, you know, Henry...
He would even talk to Reston to begin with.
He you've got to tell Henry he must not talk to him. He's valuable. He must not talk to him, period, under penalties of, frankly, dismissal. Now, goddammit, I'm not going to have it. And don't you agree?
I sure do.
This is not a question of vengeance or this or that or the other thing. It's just a point that we are not going to get anything out of Reston except a bad shake. And he did us in that.
Right.
He did his best to do us in. It didn't turn anyway? Give it to a television man. Huh?
Darn right.
Why do I waste my time, you know, being examined by this son of a bitch? He will never be in my office as long as I'm president. Never. And no man from the Times will ever be in my office as long as I'm president. It isn't worth it. You agree?
I sure do.
That's it. That's the way it's going
to
be.
I'm just astonished that he talked to him and that he would raise it with you. I just...
Well, he'll tell you that he didn't press it, but he didn't. But he didn't press it when I jumped in awful fast. But I said, no, Henry, I'm not going to do it. And he says, and then he said, I agree. And but I put it on the basis of the Pentagon Papers. But the point is that they're working him. I don't want him to see him, though. I want you to tell Henry he should not talk to Reston.
Right.
Why should he?
Well, he shouldn't.
Reston hasn't done a... He doesn't have a goddamn thing to talk about that he hasn't already published. You know that.
And
he'll only be in to get what Henry gives him.
That's right.
Rather than to give anything for our benefit. And I'm just going to... I think we just cut the son of a bitch out. I mean, that's all there is to it.
I'm just amazed.
And so it'll be raised. Let it come up in its natural way when it comes up, when he raises it with you, and you just... act as if with complete astonishment. Why, Henry,
no.
you didn't consider it, did you? So you're not going to see him, are you, Henry?
Well,
so forth. Then, you know, go on, and then. But I want you to, as I said, I want Ziegler, Scali, Klein, you know, the others who might talk to Reston and Sapphire to know they are not to talk to the New York Times. That order is on, and it is final. Nobody from the New York Times is to be
right.
talked to. The only exception I made is Dale. That's the only one. And there aren't going to be any others. None. Absolutely none, period. Except in press conferences. Not simple.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
You're not going to gain anything by softening up on these people. The same's true of Time. The same's true of Newsweek. Is that clear?
Yep.
I mean, are we enforcing this or not? What astonished me, Bob, is that he asked the question. And I just thought that something had gone wrong on the enforcement side. That our people would do... I suppose it's time lapses and they forget.
No, they don't forget. And Henry, of all people, doesn't forget. And he, of all people, he's the one guy that's had the order directly from you.
Yeah.
He and Ziegler.
He and Ziegler were there.
But you couldn't have hit him harder on the point before.
Yeah.
You know, before we went out to California.
Right. Now the arguments will all be made. I'll give them to you all. You know what they are. That the Times is important, and getting even a half-assed story is better than getting a
important.
It isn't important to begin with. And second, it's terribly distressing to other people. And third, what the hell are they going to do?
Yeah.
So they're going to write that the president refused to see him. That's just too goddamn bad, isn't it? So, but the point is, Reston, if he comes in, will only do us in. He always has, and he will now. And I'm not going to, I'd not even, incidentally, you shouldn't call him back either. I just have somebody.
I won't.
I wouldn't, and Ziegler shouldn't call him back. I think he should just have a second man at his office.
Okay.
Calls, don't you agree?
Yeah.
Why should Ziegler call him?
Well, I sure won't talk to him.
Well, naturally, I mean, but I see no reason for Ziegler to get into it. I just have to say it. Or I just let it rest and let him ask again.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know. I just don't want... the best thing to do is, if he has promised an answer, is just to have somebody from Ziegler's office, a secretary or something, say, I'm sorry, the president isn't giving any interviews at this time. Period. When will he? I'm sorry. And let him swear. God damn him. Boy, I'm telling you, we've just got to be tough on these people.
Darn right.
And now, let me say, where it's a television man, altogether different.
That's right.
There,
different
for Christ's sakes, it's worth it if you have to, you know, eat crow and shit and everything else.
That's right.
But not with the New York Times or the Los Angeles Times or Time, Newsweek or the Washington Post. It is not that important to us, is it?
Nope.
That's my view, at least.
Nope. It definitely isn't.
It'll come up in a meeting, I'm sure. And when it does, my views should be expressed just as toughly as that.
Okay. It
I
will
have
be.
No doubts about it, whatever.
Agree with you more.
Then okay.
Right.
Fine, bye.
Okay.
He knows. You know, we've changed. We're changing the whole thing. Whoever thought 4 years ago, labor guys. I got. A couple of them said, we'll never be the same. And Mrs. Galtieri, I watched her. That was, I wish I'd give anything to a film of that. She was
that night, yeah,
following you and as you, every move. And I watched her, and all of a sudden a tear came down. And I went over to her, and I didn't know what it was. I could tell by the look in her face. And she said, I love that man. I love him. And I said, you know, so, and they all mean it. And they're just, oh, they're great. It's been a, the press is having fun. They were trying to find out this afternoon, all of those witches over there. We're trying to find out from the press corps, where did this list come from? And they were buzzing. They've never seen a group like this coming through the White House.
Well, this is the Jackson thing, you know?
Yes, sir.
People coming in, no mud in their shoes. The new majority.
It's a new majority.
The press get the point?
Well, I
well, there's
four of them grabbed me, Helen Thomas and that Ball from Newsweek and somebody
bitch, right,
some other bitch I've never seen.
Wow.
And they all said, where'd this list come from? And I said, this is the middle of America. This is the cross section. This is the new majority. And they were all, how come we don't see many blacks here? And I said, well,
there were blacks. We've got about five or six,
sir. I pointed them out. But they're, you know, you can tell the press. This is killing the press corps, Mr. President.
Is it really?
Oh, sure, because what they're seeing is the Nixon majority, and they're seeing middle America coming into the White House, and these bitches who write for the Post and the New York Times want to write about all the Mrs. Tiddlyfoots and her minks coming in from New York, you know, and the beautiful people.
All of a sudden, they see ordinary people coming in.
Instead of the beautiful people of the Kennedy years,
right,
what they're seeing are the John McCarrolls, who's a
great
welder and a foreman out of the United Auto Workers plant.
And the point is, the president likes them, and they like him.
That's right. Oh, my God.
They get that across.
Yes, sir, and I steered a couple like McCarroll over to the press, because, Christ, he talks about you like he talks about God. I mean, he's just...
So he remembers the telephone call and all the rest.
Oh, sure, my God. Oh, God. And of course, the great speech. But, you know, I tried to steer a few of those type to the press, because they're the enthusiasts who really can spell it out, and they love it. It's a great thing.
We're not going to win the press, but we're going to win these people.
Oh, you've got these people.
Well, they are ours, and then we're going to work on all of them.
Well, we just...
Old Fitz, we got him, haven't we?
Oh, solidly. Up there. One way or another, we'll get it up there. I'd love to. all the frosting on, wouldn't it?
Fine.
But it's, God, when you see people like this,
I love them.
Yeah, well, you really, what it really proves, Mr. President, is the wisdom of the strategy, you know, the issues that got these people who are standing up for the country. I remember when people around here thought it was kind of corny to wear that American flag. Well, God, that was the smartest thing. And,
no, I wore one tonight.
Oh, you noticed a hell of a lot in the line of wearing them. And the last two nights.
And they noticed it, too.
Oh, damn right.
Having Bobby was good.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was damn good. And deep. But
incidentally, we launched Scally tonight. They
saw that in the Star, and that's great.
That's great.
Oh, marvelous. God, that has great effect on the Italians. God, he was at both of these Blairhouse things. I made him come over to him, and of course, he spent a lot of time talking with Italians, and he spiels off in Italian, and they spiel off back at him. And the Italians will see the significance of this. In fact, they'll
we have an Italian in the cabinet with full
right
cabinet status,
right,
and ambassador to the UN, full cabinet status. That's what
that's
I
right.
told him.
That's right. Well, that's and we're getting some other names now. We're getting some others for.
Give me one poll. I haven't got a poll yet.
Well, you with that fellow on the line tonight, Mitchell Kobolensky. We're trying to put him in the immigration service. He wants it. He's a good lawyer. Good background for it.
Good.
And so that's the immigration service for him. I'm trying to put
fine
put through our system because
put him in.
Yeah, he's a little rough, but
I don't give a shit about that.
That's right. Well, we got another one. They're a home builder too from Chicago.
He's our guy. Put him in.
That's right. He's our guy.
Right. Yeah. Pull in there.
He's absolutely our guy.
Hey, attorney.
Hello. Yes, Mr. President. John, the way I feel about this case is that, first, in terms of discipline, Hoover is right. In terms of his decision, he was wrong. You know what I mean, about not questioning Marx because of personal considerations. But in terms of our overall situation, he just cannot, and I really feel that you have to tell him this, he cannot, with my going at tomorrow to address the FBI graduation, and also with the Ellsberg case being the issue, he cannot take anything which causes dissension within the FBI ranks. It's just going to raise holy hell. They'll say this crotchety old man did it again, see. That's my feeling about it.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it, Mr. President. I think this might be the last straw as far as he's concerned.
Yeah.
And this, of course, as you point out, he does have a paper case.
Sure.
The only question that I had in my mind, whether he will take this from me or whether you have to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
That's the only question I have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. Why don't you just say that it came to my attention, that I've heard about it, that I feel very strongly. I'll be glad to talk to him about it, but I understand the disciplinary thing, but I think the primary consideration is we must not have anything with regard to Ellsberg to reflect on Edgar Hoover, and he just has got to find a way to handle it that does not to do that.
All right, sir.
And just tell him that, and then if it's needed for me to call, I'll back it up.
Let me...
You tell him. You tell him I've talked to the President, and Edgar, he doesn't want to embarrass you in a disciplinary matters where he is over the director, but he feels very strongly. He's coming over there to the FBI, and after all, and he knows that discipline is important, but he feels very strongly that we must not have the Ellsberg thing be a reason for dissension in the Bureau. That could raise holy hell. Could that be all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try it.
We'll try it that way and see how
right.
it flies. I would hope that he doesn't blow his stack and leave the fold. I don't believe he will.
Well, if he does, no, I'll be ready. I'll be ready to talk to him.
All right, sir.
But absolutely. But I just say that we've got to keep our eye on the main ball. The main ball's Ellsberg. We got to get this son of a bitch. And you know, I was talking to somebody over here yesterday. I mean, one of our PR types, and they're saying, well, maybe we ought to drop the case that the Supreme Court doesn't sustain and so forth. And I said, hell no. I mean, you can't do that. You can't be in a position of having, as I said this morning, we can't be in a position of ever allowing, just because some guy's going to be a martyr, of allowing a fellow to get away with this kind of wholesale thievery, or otherwise it's going to happen all over the government. Don't you agree?
Quite. I think that we're just going to have to do this,
that's
otherwise
right.
We lose all
control. Well, and let me say, too, don't figure that PR is too bad, either. It can turn around the other way. People don't like people that are thieves.
Well, all that people have to do is look at this guy on television and
yeah.
His name and so forth.
Right.
You've got a hell of a lot of it going for you.
Now, if you will handle it, I would. But I'll be here if I'm needed. I feel it's very important not to allow anything now. We've got to have a united front on Ellsberg. That's the main thing. Do you think that can work with him or not?
I think it will, particularly coming from you.
Yeah.
And
just say that I heard about it and that I'm coming over to make this strong statement on the Bureau tomorrow. Okay.
Very good, sir. Will do.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. President.
Edgar?
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you that I was so damn mad when that Supreme Court had to come down. I didn't like their decision, but unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable.
You know, those clowns we've got on there, I'll tell you, I hope I outlive the bastards.
Well, I hope you do, too.
I mean, politically, too, because we've got to change that court.
There's no question about that whatsoever.
Yeah.
I thought it was a possibility of a 5-4.
Yeah, you know, I thought we ought to get White. What's the matter with him?
I don't, well, of course, Lizzo White is a whole Kennedy crowd.
Right. But then the other one, though, what in the hell is the matter with Stewart?
Well, Stewart is a very wishy-washy individual. He switches from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And I wasn't surprised that on this thing he switched.
Yeah. Well, I suppose he's connected with the Georgetown thing. But what I was going to say is that the day we went over to your place and I was trying to. It made the news, all right. But the point is that if it hadn't been for that stinking court decision, we'd have been the lead story, you know.
Would have been the lead story.
And it should have been.
And it should have been. Your remarks were simply wonderful, I thought.
Well, I thought it was good to lay it on the line with those fellows. And you know that line that the era of permissiveness is in then. And you noticed, I thought it was really great when I said, and I hope that you had your people get this one down, because it. Within 23 years that I've known the director, that he has never served a party. He has always served his country. That sort of summed it up, didn't it?
It did, and I ordered today, a copy of your speech came over from the White House today.
Yeah.
And I ordered that it be printed in our national, in the law enforcement bulletin, which goes to about 15,000. Police departments in
good.
The country.
Oh, that's fine.
So it'll
be in I wanted to get out of there, but it got a good play, and I was glad that we could give it a shot.
Well,
because,
I deeply appreciate what you did, because it certainly was wonderful of you to do it.
Yeah.
And
I wanted to.
I know you may have wanted to, but it was wonderful to do it at a time when they've been shooting from all sides at you.
Oh heck! As far as I'm concerned, you know, one thing I was gonna ask you, a lot of people have a feeling that I ought to. Not a lot. They're all mixed, as a matter of fact. Some people think that now that this court has acted that I ought to make a statement about the freedom of the press and that we aren't trying to censor them and so forth. My inclination, whatever it's worth, is not to say so. I'll tell you.
I think you're right.
I kind of think I should stay out. But what's your public relations judgment on it, Edgar? I'd just like to know.
Public relations judgment, Mr. President, is that you should remain absolutely silent about it.
You would,
I would.
But you don't think that that's any great problem that they've been, that naturally been charging that we have been trying to keep the press from printing the truth about the war and so forth.
I don't think that's involved, because as a matter of fact, these papers don't harm you one bit.
No, actually, the stories in the Post and Times this morning were all about Kennedy and Diem.
Kennedy, he was the one who started it, and then Lyndon Johnson escalated it. And then you inherited it, and you have brought it down. You never sent an additional man in there, but you brought it down.
Yeah.
And I think what they're trying to do is to bait you into taking a position that the freedom of the press ought not be to that extent. And I think we ought to be awful careful what we do in this case of this man Ellsberg.
Mm-hmm.
Because there again, they're going to make a martyr out of him.
Mm-hmm.
All of the press of the country are going to come to the front in that he's a martyr, and when you what the Supreme Court has now said, I doubt whether we're going to be able to get a conviction of him.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so, but I doubt it. We've got a good, strong case on him,
mm-hmm.
and his first wife testified very vigorously against him. And it's a good, strong case. But
I'd like to check some of the other people around him. That's the others. There's a conspiracy involved here.
This fellow Sheehan of the New York Times is involved. This fellow Jack Anderson here in Washington, that skunk that we have here.
Is he in it, too?
Oh, yeah, he's in it. He was at the Post and had copies made.
Yeah.
I saw her on the TV last night, Mrs. Graham. I would have thought she's about 85 years old. She's only about, I think, something like 57.
Oh, no, I know that. Yeah.
And I had an idea she was a great deal older when I looked at her last night.
Yeah.
She's aged terribly.
She's a terrible old bag.
Oh, she's an old bitch in my estimation.
That's right.
But I think from your point of view, it would be very ill-advised.
You don't think I should say anything?
I don't think you should say anything.
Just let it cool off. Let the papers come out and let them reflect on whoever they reflect.
What they want to print, it doesn't reflect upon you. You had nothing to do with all of this.
I had nothing. Nothing of it is about me, you know.
Not at all. And therefore, if you enter it now on the grounds of freedom of the press or anything of that, then it's the very thing that the enemies of the administration want to do, is to divert the attack upon you. And not upon Kennedy and not upon Johnson. Now, of course, I think what's going to happen, I think Lyndon Johnson will ultimately burst forth himself.
Yeah.
Because
he ought to.
You know, he's a tough individual.
He ought to defend himself.
I think he will.
Yeah, well.
And I think for that reason, your silence would be just the thing.
Well, I don't certainly plan to say anything until I have a chance to look over the weekend and see what the...
Well, I evaluated very carefully because I think they're trying to bait you into taking the position. This fellow Stanton, who's now going to be cited by the Congress for contempt of court, he shot his mouth off today. And I think the House of Representatives will cite him for contempt. He ought to be cited for contempt.
Yeah.
But let that be his battle, not yours.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not having nothing to do with him. That's the House.
That's the House. It's up to them.
Let them have their fun.
And they had a unanimous vote in the committee. It wasn't divided.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's up for him to fight out. He talks about the opinion of yesterday as being in his favor and so forth. It has nothing to do with what the House is doing.
Well, the opinion yesterday had nothing to do with the Pentagon. Selling the Pentagon.
They had lied about the Pentagon, as they've lied about so many things.
Yeah.
CBS is one of the worst networks on the circuit today.
Right.
But I would certainly give awful careful thought by just remaining silent.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to get that advice. I'm going to be meeting in about an hour with these guys, and I'll have that in mind.
Fine.
Well, good to talk to you, and
I want to thank you again for the...
Well, I appreciate the cufflinks.
It was wonderful.
I appreciate the cufflinks.
Thank
Bye.
You. Goodbye.
Ms. Nixon, please.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Mrs. Nixon. There you are.
Hello.
Hi.
How'd the tea go?
Oh, about 350 ladies.
Great.
But it went well. They all commented on the trip.
I'll bet they did.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ziggler, please. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Ron. With regard to that television show of Mrs. Dixon, let me say how I want you to handle it. First, talk to Connie.
Right.
See if she thinks it right. I think she does. It's vicious. Mrs. Dixon thought. Then second, look at it.
Yes, I will.
And make your own determination. Third, the main thing is that, we got to use Barbara Walters. We know that people are against it for us, but I want her directly to be called and say you thought it was a low shot.
Right.
If you believe that, look, Barbara, we're trying to cooperate in the rest. Why'd you take such a cheap shot and you really cut yourself off in the White House and let her come back, okay?
Right. I have the number of wedges I can put into her. I'll take it. I told her. I'll look at it.
Waller shouldn't have done it.
No,
of course, Connie was, and the other thing is, in the future, I want you to tell Connie, it's a strict rule, that nothing is to be done for any of these specials on television without total clearance to the White House and editorial control. Why the hell should we? Now, if we're on a press conference or the rest, that's something else again. But let's have editorial control, because What this did was to raise hell with a lot of press people that had covered her on the trip. They said, why the Christ are you giving this to Barbara Walters who wasn't on the trip?
I don't want to be critical of Connie on this. I'm sure that she still she had that type of thing. But I'll talk to Connie about it.
All right, fine. But you do that and give me a report about 11 o'clock tomorrow, okay? And give Mr. Dixon a report, will you? All right, fine. Hello?
Congressman Ford, Mr. President.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Hi, Jerry.
How are you?
What's the matter with your opposite number?
He's nuts.
My God, I when I read the Star last night, and incidentally, I thought you made fine comment, but I said, well, Jesus, Key, right? Did you know that the FBI has not had a tap, not only on no congressman or no senator, but not even anybody that has ever, the moment they cross into that Capitol since 1924. Did you know that?
I didn't know that,
Hoover's got the record. I mean, this is the most ridiculous damn thing, but the fellow is, he's on the sauce, isn't that it?
Well, I'm afraid that's right, Mr.
Or is he crazy? I mean,
he's either drinking too much or he's taking some pills that are upsetting him mentally. Last Thursday when we were getting the program for this week, he was mumbling. He was almost incoherent. It was very embarrassing to Carl and to everybody who was on the floor.
Yeah.
We've got, I hate to say this, but we've got to be awfully careful. What we tell him.
Well, that's the problem. One thing I called about you. I'm afraid that we'd better not. I was planning to have a meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night of the Big Five, but how the hell can I tell him? That's only 2 hours before, though. He can't do much damage. No, he'd probably go out and screw off on that. But I don't think I can ever tell him anything in confidence.
Well, I think you've got to be awfully careful. Anything that's classified.
I know. Well, everything, frankly, everything I say is classified because they go out and quote the president, and that becomes part of the record. Well, anyway, I don't know. Is this something that you could talk to Carl about in confidence and say, look, I mean, in other words, I never have any problem meeting with you and Carl.
Right.
But, maybe that's the answer, that I'll meet with you and Carl, and damn it, I'm just not going to have this fellow down here because you can't have a nut, you know. With Carl, you agree, he isn't ever going to leak anything, will he?
He's a man of high principle.
Well, all right, I'll leave it to you to talk to him, Jerry.
I'll talk to Carl,
and
then I'll call you back or talk to Clark.
Well, I tell you what you do. Why don't you... you can call me back, and if I'm not, I'm going to be doing some revenue sharing messages at at about 11 to 12. But if you find that Carl feels there's any doubt, then what we'll do is to just have you and Carl, and from the House, and just say we want only two from the House, and then I'll have only Mike and Scott from the Senate.
I think that's a proper dividing line.
After all, in a sense. It's sort of the speaker is a partisan.
That's right.
And it would be like having the president pro tem added in. You know, we used to add Dick Russell for reasons, but we don't add Eleanor.
No.
So I think if I could have you and Carl, I'd feel perfectly free to talk anytime. But I just that's what I really call you. But I don't feel I can talk in front of this fellow. I mean, I think he's just off his rocker.
Well, let me talk to Carl, and I'll put it quite frankly.
Tell him that we'd like to have you down at 7 o'clock tomorrow, and I'll give you a complete fill-in, because there is something in great confidence, and I am going to tell you, that may not develop.
Right.
But, you know, on the negotiating front.
Right.
But I just want to give you a little feel of it, you know.
Right. All right, I'll talk to Carl.
But I would never do it if Boggs were there.
Well, I don't think you could under the present circumstances.
I'd have no problem with Mike.
No.
Okay.
All right. I'll
fine. But I'm glad you. What do the other members think of his attack on Hoover? I mean, understand. We all know Hoover's old and so forth and so on. And good God, I mean, he's got to make up his own mind about the retirement thing. We know that. But on the other hand, gee, gods, you can't just damn the whole FBI for being Gestapo. That's just ridiculous.
Well, I was just shocked when he took the floor.
Were the Democrats shocked, some of them?
Well, they just sat there with their mouths open.
Yeah.
And so I just off the cuff got up and make the comments that I made because...
I wish some Democrat would get up, too.
It was right at the outset.
I see.
And there were very few members present.
Right.
And so the kind that would have spoken up, unfortunately, were not there.
Now, tell your, incidentally, our your little doves that are flying around in your coat over there to just pipe down, hold their horses, and wait till after they hear what I have to say.
Well, I gave them a couple of them a good lecture yesterday.
Well, the whole point is this. I mean, what the hell is it going to prove? I mean, we know there, hell, there are probably 25 that'll sign something like that. But the main point is we got a hell of a lot more that won't. And you were, incidentally, very good on the morning show. I didn't see it, but I read the transcript. Boy, you poured it right to them.
Well,
keep kicking them in you know where.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Mr.
Well, rather a hard day, wasn't it? Well, it was hard for you. Yeah. When I didn't know you had made the statement you did until the evening. And I think of the discipline with which you conducted the meeting in the morning.
And then going through the evening.
And then going through the evening.
Yeah. The problem I have is that... I can't look at it in a detached way. I really should. Well, these people, goddammit, they're guilty. Throw them out and go on. But just personal things, sir. Goddamn. I think of these good men.
That's right. Who wanted to do the right thing. And,
I was going to splash on a lot of them. And, anyway.
Well, I think the way you have positioned it now, that's the right way to do it.
Because Garment, as you know, was having the idea that I should get up and announce that I'd fired Haldeman, Ehrlichman, and Dean. And that, without waiting until they get up the name. But the real culprit is Mitchell, of course. He's in charge of the whole goddamn thing, and John Mitchell. Should step up like a man and say, look, I was in charge, I take the responsibility, period.
Exactly. All the more so as doing the opposite won't help them any.
Nope, they're going to get him.
I think to fire Haldeman would make him the villain.
Well, in the end, he would probably have to go, Henry. They're going to, rig him up good.
Well, if that's the case, then he should get out before.
Well, but not until I have absolute evidence. I'm not going to fire a guy on the basis of a charge made by Dean, who basically is trying to save his ass and get immunity, you see. That's why I had that phrase in there that no immunity should be granted to a top person.
Yeah.
He has no right to do that.
No, that's absolutely. I mean, I think that is outrageous. No, I just have no way. I have no good feel for that. I think you would not have improved the situation if you had suddenly, without any preparation, turned on all your associates.
Yep.
And,
well, we have two or three hard months ahead. It's going to be real rough.
Well, the major thing now, Mr. President, if I may say so, is to protect the presidency and your authority.
That'll be hard because some of these people will even piss on the president if they think it'll help.
Well,
pretty hard. I'm the only one, frankly, of the whole bunch who really didn't know a goddamn thing, about it until. Until March, when I finally, Dean came in and said, well, here's where it is, which he should have done months ago.
Well, they better know for their head, and they try to, instead of stepping back and assessing where they were, got in deeper and deeper.
That's right.
But I think the absolute, I mean, to protect the place.
Well, if we can, we will, but if we don't, what the hell?
We can, Mr. President.
Maybe we will. I've even considered the possibility of, frankly, just
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Colvin.
Hi, Elliot.
Thank you for calling back.
No, I tried to reach you about a half hour ago, but the damn lines were so busy.
Oh, really?
No, that's right.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I was very, I thought that was really great.
Well, you're very kind to say that.
In a real sense, your finest hour.
I tried to call you, actually. I mean, you know, I just learned, you know, about this, you know, because, you know, the lines have been jammed. And I just learned about 5 minutes ago from Steve Bull that you had called. And I said, for Christ's sakes, why don't you put it through? And he said, well, we had other calls on, you know, and I was on the phone. Good God, my God, Billy Graham and 18 other people. But I just wanted you to know I hadn't cut you off because of that. Because you can always get through. I want you to know you can always get through, believe me.
Well, I thank you, Mr. President. I was very moved and touched by what you said about me, and I can assure you that, well, you know what I mean. I
know.
I won't let you down.
Do your job, boy, and may take you all away.
You know, it so happened that I was having a party here tonight for the military assistants who've been with Bill Clements and me and who were just needing new jobs, and so all the chiefs were here.
Right.
And we all watched and listened to you together.
What do they think?
I don't think I've ever been with a group of people who were more moved by an occasion like this.
Really? Really?
And it was a great thing, really, for all of us.
Well, you know, I meant it, you know, as you know, Elliot, it came from the heart because you were up there with me and you know how rugged this was, but it had to be done.
We could feel it. It was very
well, you're the man, you're my man, and by God, we back you up all to the hilt. Do you understand that?
I do.
All right, Elliot.
And I won't let you down, Mr. President.
Oh, I know that. That's why I named you.
Well, I can only say that I have a feeling I think I can do it right. I really do.
Of course you can. Elliot, the one thing they're going to be hitting you on is about the special prosecutor.
Yeah.
The point is, I'm not sure you should have one. I'm not sure, but what you should say, you assume the responsibility for the prosecution and maybe bring that nice fellow, Hastings, or whatever his name is, say he's a, but whatever you want. Good God, if you want to, you know, to exhume Charles Evan Hughes, do it. Yeah, I don't mind.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking about it, and I met with Henry Peterson this afternoon.
Right.
And I talked with him about it, and I'll think about it some more.
Do what you want, and I'll back you to the hilt. I don't give a damn what you do. I am for you. Do you understand?
I
get to the bottom of this son of a bitch.
I do.
All right, Elliot.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling, and give my best to your lovely wife.
I will. Thanks.
Hello.
Hi.
Hope I didn't let you down.
No, sir. You got your points over, and now you got to set right and move on. You're in right where you ought to be.
Well, it's a tough thing, Bob, for you, for John, the rest, but God damn it, I'm never going to discuss this son of a bitching Watergate thing again. Never, 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 never. Don't you agree?
Yes, sir. You've done it now, and you've laid out your position, you've laid out your, mm-hmm. you've taken your steps, you've put the...
Interesting thing, you know, we haven't heard of the only cabinet officer that is called, and this is 50 minutes after the thing is over, is Cap Weinberger, bless his soul.
Hmm.
All the rest of you are waiting to see what the polls show. Goddamn strong cabinet, isn't it?
Oh, you better check and be sure, because that... They may, you know, we've had a...
No. They know who to call, you know. They know they can get through. But in any event, I just want you to know that Cap called, and he was all the way.
Good.
got to keep the faith. Keep the faith. You're going to win this son of a bitch.
Absolutely.
You notice what I said about the violence and so forth on the other side?
Yeah.
I mean, there were some intricacies in this that only the sophisticates will understand.
I got those, and I want to get the text because there's some things to work on from there. But
right.
That we can build.
I thought it was good, too, to sort of end on what I deeply felt, you know, the religious note, you know.
Yes.
God bless America.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it must have, you know, driven you up the wall. Didn't drive me up the wall, but I felt that way.
I'm all for that. Completely agree.
I don't know whether you can call and get any reactions and call me back, like the old style. Would you mind?
I don't think I can.
I agree. I don't
have an odd spot to try and do
don't
that.
Don't call a goddamn soul. The hell with it. Let me just say, getting this call from me, from you, and I haven't heard from any cabinet officer except Weinberger an hour afterwards, and thank God, and no staff member.
Well, now when I called, the board said they were instructed not to put any calls through. So
the hell with that. I told them to put all the calls through.
Well, that may be why you haven't gotten them, though, because that's
all right.
What you told me.
I'll change it.
All right.
Fine, but God bless you, boy.
Okay.
God bless you. I love you, you know.
Okay.
Like my brother.
And we'll...
All right, boy.
On and up from
keep the faith.
Right.
Get Buchanan on the phone for Mr. Kissinger, please.
Thank you.
Henry?
Yeah. I was talking to the president about this Agnew speech.
What?
And we think you ought to touch up the Ivy League presidents who are coming out against the bombing of the Noah's a bit.
Hit them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the general themes you should hit is what sort of thinking is it that condemns a bombing of military targets of the aggressor, and that condemns America when a country has 13 of its 14 divisions in the territories of its neighbors, engages in a massive invasion, breaks every understanding and agreement they have had with us and towards the international community. And then when we bomb the military targets, they condemn us and not the aggressor.
Okay. Fine. That's in there generally, or in a lot of it specifically, but I think we can get a paragraph, a couple of that makes that point, okay?
Can you do it?
Sure. It'll be right on up there. I've sent the VEEP for the third draft of the thing.
Good. Well,
and
make it...
I'll send this one up and say the president wants this, okay?
Right. The president wants to talk to you for a minute.
Okay.
This, of course, will... His attack on the Democratic candidates will get him, but this, of course, will get him some headlines too. Which, in other words, because they think they're hurting him.
Right.
But on the other hand, he's on the right side of it this time, you know.
Okay.
In my view, you know, he may not want to use it, but the point is that I think that he ought to say, "When, pray God, are these leaders, the presidents of the great universities, just once going to speak up for America rather than speaking up for the enemies of the United States?"
Right.
And lay it right to them.
Okay.
And what an example they're setting for their students. We can't blame, and he should say, we can't blame the students, the few students who, for, you know, their activities here, when they are led by spineless, soft, woolly-headed faculty, and university people with no courage, no guts, and no patriotism. Put it to them like that. Okay?
Okay, sir.
All right.
Right, sir.
I don't know whether you can write it mean enough or not.
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, Prime Minister Trudeau.
Yeah. Hello?
Mr. President.
Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
Very well.
I just got back from vacation earlier this week, and I wanted to phone you to tell you how distressed I was about all this noise that is going on around the Watergate thing. I want to tell you that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the people here with
expecting me to call. Let me say that it is a really deplorable incident. And then what it is like, you know, in campaigns, people, your best friends with the best of intentions do things they shouldn't. And then you have to let them go. And it breaks your heart, but that's the way it happens.
Well, exactly. And you're quite right. The sad thing is they do it with good intentions.
That's right.
And
this was all such a picayotish damn thing, but it was wrong.
Well,
but I'll tell you, we'll survive it, Mr. Prime Minister. But your call, I will always remember.
Well, I certainly never forgot that you called me when I was.
We sort of have a union. We politicians have got to stick together.
Well, that's the way we got to do it, and I think we see things the right way.
Well, I appreciate it. Incidentally, I wanted to tell you, Kissinger just left. He's going over to Sealy Ducto. It'll be announced today in Paris next week. And as soon as he gets back, I'll have him be sure that you get a report, because I know your decision on this thing is imminent.
Months, yeah.
And that way we'll have a better fix on whether how to let you know how the thing is coming. But we do appreciate what you've done, and I'll keep you totally posted on his visit, which will be next Thursday.
Certainly appreciate that. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
How good of you to call.
Thank you. Bye.
Reverend Billy Graham off the line, sir.
Who?
Reverend Billy Graham.
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. President?
Is this Billy?
This is Billy Graham.
How are you?
I want to tell you that that's by far the best anybody has done on Vietnam. And you had me in tears. I really feel that...
Well, I was in tears myself, you know. Every time I think of that little Kevin and he saluted, it just broke me up.
Well, I think you even threw old Dan Rather off balance.
Yeah.
I thought it was just tremendous, and I just wanted to tell you that I...
Are you in Knoxville?
No, I'm still in Vero Beach, Florida.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been down here about 5 weeks.
When are you going to your crusade in Kentucky?
Yes, that starts in about 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, I see.
I have to go to California to deliver a couple of speeches first.
Right. But you felt it was the right thing. Of course, we're fighting a very tough battle here. You know, everybody wants to pull out, but I have to fight against the tide. I got to do the right thing.
I think you defused a lot of it tonight, though. I don't see what in the world they can say after tonight. I think that you've given some of people like me, you've given me something to hold on to and to really say. And I've got an editorial in the New York Times on Friday, which I wrote this morning. They
added for you.
Yesterday.
Good.
And I'm putting all the blame of this whole thing on Kennedy.
That's right. He started the damn thing.
Well,
he killed Diem, and he sent the first 16,000 combat people there himself.
Well, I'm saying that the first time I ever heard of our involvement was 4 days before he was inaugurated, playing golf with him. He said, I quote, "We cannot allow layoffs in South Vietnam to fall to the communists." And then I said, when President Johnson took over, we had 16,000 troops there.
That's right.
And I said, the political climate in the United States...
Well, and Diem had been murdered. See, you see, Billy, the key thing here was Kennedy's, and I must say our friend Lodge's, agreement to the murder of Diem. Diem, that's what killed that's opened the whole thing.
The whole thing. And I said this sentence, I said, many of the present doves in the Senate were not then so dovish, even Senator Fulbright, who introduced the now famous Tonkin Resolution. And I got all that in there, and they've taken it. They're going to print it Friday morning.
Good. Well, anyway, I appreciate...
But I thought it was your sincerity and your manner of presentation was just excellent. It was just wonderful. I was...
One thing, incidentally, I threw away the text at the last and talked about this little boy that came there. That little Kevin, you know, when he saluted me, I damn near broke up.
I'm sure you did.
Well, you know how it is.
I'm sure it is.
It's awful tough, isn't it?
Well, God bless you. You've got a lot of people praying for you.
Believe me, Billy, it means an awful lot. And you keep the faith, huh?
You bet you.
Keep the faith.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Our folks, we're going to win.
2 seconds we have left now, and there's almost just time for yes or no. Are you sorry you didn't burn the tapes?
You know, interestingly enough, everybody in Europe that I talked to said, why didn't you burn the tapes? And the answer is, I probably should have. But mainly, I shouldn't have even installed them, because Johnson's system was there. I had it taken out and I shouldn't have ever put them in the first place.
But if you had it to do all over again, you'd burn them.
Yes, I think so, because they were private conversations subject to misinterpretation, as we have well seen.